MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting now with Mario Fischer. You find him head of quantitative research and also the co-portfolio manager of the Old Mutual Global Managed Alpha Fund. This, of course, from Old Mutual Investment Group. Mario, appreciate the time this morning. The fund that your Global Managed Alpha Fund been around for, 8 years almost. And you use the MSCI All Country World Index as opposed to the MSCI World Index. What is sort of the key difference between the two? I think many of my listeners are thinking that just sounds like the same, but the All Country does change it. What does the All Country bring to the index and hence the benchmark?
Good morning, Simon, and thanks for having me this morning. The benchmark choice is firstly the first active decision that any investor needs to make. The developed market index, the MSCI World Index, covers 23 developed market companies, economically developed, and that is about 1,500 stocks in total, spread across 23 countries. The All Country World Index includes emerging markets as well, so that goes to about 47 countries, but it doubles the number of stocks you can access to about 3,000. When you add the emerging markets to the developed markets, it only adds 10% by weight, but it doubles your opportunity set.
I get your point there. And I imagine it's still the All Country World Index is still going to have a large concentration in those tech stocks we're always talking about. But by bringing in some emerging markets, and these are giant markets, I mean, think China, India, Brazil, the like, you get more exposure to other sectors. I'm thinking energy, I'm thinking perhaps consumer goods, which are maybe not as dominant or as prevalent in developed world indices.
Correct, yes. What you get is still tech dominance. About 25% of the index by weight is still made up of technology companies. Mm-hmm. And the big US tech companies still dominate. That's not the question. But what you get here is access to, as you said, energy, consumer services in emerging markets. That's where the spending happens in emerging markets. They're not necessarily tech-driven. And what you get is a dampening effect of those mega caps. They're about 10% lower weight in total in All Country World than in the developed market index. But an interesting point to note is the U.S. component by number of shares in All Country World is about 700 stocks. And you get the same equivalent number of stocks in China that you can access.
Ah, okay. And the key thing, and in the note you were putting out recently, you talk around, you know, emerging markets. They're what, 20% of sort of market cap globally, but they're around 45% of global GDP. We can debate lots about it, but the short answer is, in essence, they're underrepresented. This is going to be an area of growth, maybe not this year or next, but in the medium to long term, we're going to see that uplift, and in theory, we should see their market cap value sort of reflect the GDP.
Correct, yes. So we see a similar phenomenon in equity markets, where if you pick the correct small companies, they tend to grow faster than their larger counterparts. So you get a higher return on value by investing in these smaller companies. That analogy can be carried into markets as well. So emerging markets, because they are growing and they are developing economies, they would tend to develop at a faster rate than developed markets over time. And the countries that get them right from a geopolitical point of view and from an economic point of view, they would potentially generate a higher return than countries that are quite stable and economically developed already.
They've, in a sense, they've got almost a better increase or higher levels of productivity because of that expansion of GDP, the expansion of the economies.
That's correct, yes. And also the type of industries in emerging markets are more industrial-based. Not as technology-driven as more developed markets. And what you would get then is infrastructure investment. You'd get investment in machinery, production, equipment, and then also a more working labor force. And all of that combined should potentially give you better growth prospects.
In the near term, you mentioned the countries themselves getting their geopolitical situations well positioned. We certainly have heightened geopolitical risks under the second Trump presidency. He's announced overnight a doubling of tariffs from China from 10 to 20%. This is going to be a challenge. It's going to be a concern. I imagine it's more perhaps of a short-term issue, but it is, does it put a significant dampener, or is it something which, China learns to navigate, perhaps as we see a sort of repositioning of the global order?
I think that is the way to look at it. This is not the first time this is happening. Mm-hmm. Trump's been in this position before. There were tensions with China before. I think this is a rerun, maybe a different take on it. Mm-hmm. This time around, for the most part, it should be priced in. So people are really accounting for any effect that would have. But as I said, the market is a very volatile animal, so it's always different from day to day. We try our best to navigate that and then generate a return for our clients.
But you make a great point there. This is Trump's second presidency. He started tariffs in his first presidency. There were tensions beforehand. But importantly, the in-between presidency was President Biden. And of course, he didn't remove the tariffs. If anything, he in many cases actually increased them. It might feel new, but we're a decade into this now.
That's correct, yes. And again, the whole incident or interview with the Ukrainian president, mm-hmm. that just reinforces the point of view of the American presidency. And we have to navigate and react to that accordingly, not overreact, not underreact. We have to see what kind of effect that's going to have on markets, how that's going to affect groups of stocks, groups of countries. Mm-hmm. And because our process is factor-based, we are less emotionally invested in the investment process, and for us it has to come through in the numbers. So as history repeats itself from time to time, we react to that. Most of the time it just comes out in the wash. So we try in our process to be as objective as we can.
And the key point always is never panic. There's no benefit to that. I like your point. It comes out in the wash. Mario Fisher, he's head of quantitative research. He's also a portfolio manager of the Old Mutual Global Managed Alpha Fund from OMIG. Appreciate the early morning time. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.